We continue our learning. Le'ilu Nishmas David ben Achamunish Hanu Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eleo. We are in the final Mishnah of Maseches Bikurim, Perek Dala Mishnah Hey, and the final Mishnah in Seder Zroim. And therefore, we will have a separate recording for Maseches Shabbos, the beginning of Seder Moed, despite the fact that there are two Mishnayos that are supposed to be learned this day. Perek Dala Mishnah Hey. Eino shave lo la'anashim v'lo la'anashim ketzad. We're speaking about the androgynos. And now we're up to the fourth category, where we say that he's not equal not to men and not to women. In what way is he not like men and not like women? Says the Mishnah, Ein chayavin al tumaso. You're not chayav on his tumah. What does it mean? So we mentioned previously that an androgynos becomes tumay with his a white emission from his body like a man and a red emission like a woman. We mentioned that before. So when the Mishnah is teaching us is, let's say, so he becomes tamei, but let's say another person touches him, becomes tamei from him. So the halacha is that he would not be held accountable for entering the Beis HaMikdash without making himself tahor prior to entering the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say going to a mikvah before. If he didn't do so, he would not be chayev. And that's because since the androgynos, we're not sure as a man or sure as a woman, we can't necessarily assume that the person who touched him became tame. And this is even true if the androgynos had both of these emissions, both red blood and the emission of ziva. So why should that be? So that's based on the and if someone touches him, we assume the person who touched him should definitely become tame. Yet he's not going to be chai for entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. Why not? So the Gemara Nida on Daf Chav Chesam Ibn Aleph learns it from the pasuk Parshas Naso. It says Mizachar Ad Nikheva Tishalechu. Who has to be sent out of the Mikdash? Only if you are a definite male or a definite female. Androgynos, where we're not sure of the gender, so therefore you're not going to be chayiv if you become tamei from them. What else? The Ein Sorfen Al Tumaso. In what way is he not like a man and not like a woman? We don't burn truma because of his tuma. Once again, we mentioned if the androgynos has a white emission or a ziva emission from his body or a red emission of that of blood, they're both tamei out of doubt. Maybe he's a man, maybe he's a woman. So if I have truma, let's say even kachim, foods, and they touch the androgynos in this state of tuma, or they touch this discharge itself, the white or the red, they would become tamei. They would normally have to be burnt because this is typically what we would happen in general, rather, not in the case of androgynos is the exception. This is what normally would happen if a person was tameh. In the case of androgynos, the truma would not become tameh, meaning if the androgynos would have either white or red, so we would not have to burn the truma. That's what it means, ein sorfen tumaso. However, in this case, this is different than the previous one. Let's say he had both a white and a red emission from his body, both the ziva and the blood. So then we would assume that the truma that would touch him would have to be burnt, even though in the case when we said someone who touched him is definitely tamei would not be chayiv in the mikdash, that's only because of this gzeras hakasuv mizachar amnekevah tishalechu. You need a definite zachar, a definite nekeva. But here, we would definitely burn the truma if, in fact, he would have both of these discharges. Mishnah continues, Veinu Nerach, Lo Kanashim V'lo Kanashim. Erechin, we discuss in Parshas B'chukosai, there's a different fixed value of Sela, of Shekel, for men, for women, and of different ages, different categories of ages. So the halach is, if he made an erech of his value, if someone donated the value, the erech value of a particular androgynos, makes no difference. There is no value given to the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because it says Vayo Erech HaZachar, and it says V'imne Kevahi. That means you have to be a definite male or definite female. They are subject to erech, to the erech values. Androgynos, we don't know his gender, so he's a suffolk. So there's no din of erechin at all. There would be no chiv to give any amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. Veino nimkar be'eved ivri, lo ka'anashim v'lo ka'anashim. He's not sold as an eved ivri, not like men, like women. What does that mean? So we know there's an eved ivri and an amah ivriya. An eved ivri is sold into slavery. Let's say he sells himself because he's poor. Or he sells himself because or Beis Din sells him into slavery because he's a Jewish slave. Because he steals and he can't pay. So this only applies to someone who is a gadol, who's 13 or older. That's who can be sold. A katan's not going to be sold in case of where he steals. He's not liable for what he does. However, when we speak about a Jewish woman, she's not sold into slavery as a bas mitzvah from that age at all. She's not sold to repay anything that she steals, and she can't sell herself either. When did she become an amar ivriya? That's where the father sells her, when she is a ketana, only when she's younger. And then she has, if she has simanim, signs of simanim that she's older, she's matured. So then, or she reached the age of 12, she goes free after that. So the time that an amar ivri goes free, that age or that age of maturity is when an eved ivri actually begins, could potentially begin his servitude becoming an eved. So they are mutually exclusive when we speak about anashim, when we speak about eved ivri and amar ivriya. And therefore, if you have someone who we don't know whether he's an Isha or an Isha, so then he's not going to be Nimkar as an Eved Ivri at all. V'imamar hareini nazir, she'ein ze ish v'isha, hare ze nazir. We go back to the nazir case. We spoke about a person says, I'm a nazir if it's both or whatever it is, or this is a male or female. Here we have a person makes a nazir like this, on the condition that androgynos, which he sees in front of him, is not a man. Or, let's say he makes an eder, I make an eder on the condition that the androgynous woman is not a woman. Halachiz becomes a nazir, because indeed, he is neither. According to this, he's not necessarily a man, necessarily a woman. He becomes, and therefore, that would be considered a proper nazirus. Some say no. The Mishnah means that a person is saying like this. He takes an eder to become a nazir on the condition that not two separate statements. Maybe he said that he's not a man. Maybe he said if this is not a woman. But rather, he takes an eder nazir on the condition that the androgynous is neither a man nor a woman in one statement. Halacha is, even here, according to some, he becomes a nazir. Why? Because there are ways that an androgynous is neither like a man or a woman, as Amish is teaching us. And therefore, if he says, Hareini nazir, she'ein ze'ish ve'isha, whether he says that as a separate statement, according to some, even in all one statement, hare ze nazir, because indeed that would be true. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi comes to disagree. Three-way machlokas, Rabbi Yossi means, androgynous beria bifnei atzma. An androgynous literally is its own creature. And the chachamim really couldn't decide whether he's an ish or an isha. So what's Rabbi Yossi saying? So the first opinion is the opinion of Tosis. Tosis and the Rush as well hold that Rabbi Yossi is not coming to add anything. He's coming to explain the Tanna Kamma. Everything we've said in this entire perek about the androgynos, from the beginning of the perek, is all what Rabbi Yossi is coming to explain. Why do the Chachamim treat him as androgynous, as a suffek? Because we don't really know. We have all these halachos. A creature unto itself merely means, according to Tosos, that we don't know. He can maybe be a man. He may be a woman. So that's all Rabbi Yossi is coming to teach us. That basically reiterating the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, not knowing what the status is, a man or of a woman, and basically out of doubt, we have to follow all the halachos that we've mentioned. Ramban disagrees. He says when Rabbi Yossi says androgynous is a beria bifnei atzma, he's coming to argue on the Tanna Kamma, as opposed to the Tanna Kamma who says, I'm not sure what he is, and we have to treat him as a suffolk. Says the Ramban, no, the androgynous is a beria bifnei atzma. It's not, doesn't mean that he has a doubtful status. It means the androgynous is not a man and not a woman, but he's a third type of individual, of creature, of entity, and which is neither male nor female. So that's why if I have halachos from the Torah that apply to males or to females, they won't apply to him. And Rabbi Yossi, therefore, is arguing, says Ramban, with what the Tanna Kamma is saying at all. All of those chumras that we give men and women, whatever, that we give them to the androgynous, no, not necessarily. Let's say, for example, the case of Tumah. We spoke about there's a Ziva, there's a white emission, or a Dam, there's blood, etc. So what do we say? We said, maybe he's a man, maybe he's a woman, so Tumah is going to apply. Says the Ramban, no, that wouldn't apply to androgynous, because because those halachos are specific to males or to females. Ziva for males, and dam of damnida, dam zava for a female, but according to Rabbi Yossi, no. Androgynos would not be Tomei, even if he had, listen to this, even if he had both types of the emissions from his body, if he had Ziva, and if he had Dam, it wouldn't make a difference. That is Ramban's opinion. And finally, the opinion of the Rash says Rabbi Yossi is sort of like a compromise, meaning like this. When Rabbi Yossi says that Androgynos is a Berei b'fnei atzmo, what he's coming to tell you is it's a little bit like Tosos and a little bit like the Ramban. On the one hand, he says we do treat an Androgynos like a doubt, and therefore they have a lot of chumras that apply. On the other hand, there's another possibility. In addition to the possibility that he's a suffix, maybe he's a male, maybe he's a female, there's a third possibility. Maybe he's a Berei b'fnei atzmo. So in that regard, he's going to be follow the Ramban to some extent. So let's say, according to this, the Androgynos is going to be, we have to be machmir both or on all the halachos for men and women. And yes, that would be true when it comes to the tumah that comes from where it comes from either the ziva or the dam, because maybe he's a male, maybe he's a female. But he's not definitely tumah. So let's say if he has both dam and ziva, we're not going to say that he's definitely going to be tumah because he has both. Because maybe he's neither a man nor a woman. Maybe he's so that is this third possibility. And then the Mishnah concludes, Aval tumtum ein okein. The tumtum is different. Ela safek ish, safek isha. The tumtum from the word atum, which means closed up or stopped up, that's someone who, where we don't know, they don't have simane zachar or simane nekeva, but they're covered up, possibly with surgery or at some point, it could become uncovered. And we know the gender is a male or a female. It just, we cannot discern what it is. So very different than the Androgynos, which has both Simone Zachar and Simone Nekeva. The Tumtums do not. So we could speak about the Androgynos, let's say, being in one category of Berei b'fnei atzmo. Such a thing we cannot say about a Tumtum. They're not all the same. They and even Androgynos, even if it's not a Berei b'fnei atzmo, we say, well, we treat an Androgynos like a Suffolk. And Suffolk Zachar, Zachar, Suffolk Nekeva. The Tumtum is a very different type of Suffolk. It's a suffix zachar. One tumtum may actually, we find out later, is a zachar. One may, we end up finding out, is in a keva. But that's not true by Androgynos. By Androgynos, by definition, is going to be doubtful. Every Androgynos is going to have the same suffix. So Rabbi Yossi basically concludes with this statement. Unlike an Androgynos, which is a Berei b'fnei atzmo, you can't say that about a tumtum. So let's say, the way Tosus understood that there's going to be, all it means is that we have a doubtful case for all Androgynos. The Tumtum is not true, right? One may be a Zachar, one being in a Keva. We don't really know. According to the Ramban and the Rash's explanation, that Berei b'fnei atzmo really means a different creature. That's certainly not true when it comes to a Tumtum. So an interesting application of this the differences between a Tumtum and Androgynos, a practical halacha would be the following. You have a case, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the one who discharges others' obligation in Tkiyah Shofar is one who is obligated in the mitzvah. So there's a brisa there in Gemara, and Daf, Chav, Tesamad, Aleph, that says the Tumtum cannot blow the shofar for a man, and he can't blow for another Tumtum. Again, a tumtum can't blow for a man, and he can't blow for a tumtum. Remember, a woman is putter from tkiyah shofar. But an androgynos is disqualified only from blowing for men, but he can blow for another androgynos. Why is that so? Since when it comes to the status of each and every tumtum, we don't know. So if you blow, maybe the person blowing who's a tumtum for another tumtum, maybe the one who's blowing is really a female. The one who is blowing for is a male. So it's here's someone who's potter blowing for someone who's chayef. But an androgynos is one or the other. Every androgynos is either going to be decided as a male or a female is doubtful. So androgynos may not be able to blow for a male, but he certainly can blow for another androgynos. Mazel tov on the conclusion of Bikurim and Seder Zroim.